Amen. And please be seated. And we thank all of you for being here this morning. It is a great day. And the question is will your anchor hold? Will it hold? And, too often in our lives, we fail to realize that we need an anchor. You know, David mentioned that generally we think about someone out on the sea or perhaps out on a lake who is fishing, and they drop anchor where the fish are biting. Well, you know, the Bible describes the anchor of God as the Word of God. And if I were to ask you this morning, will your anchor hold? You and I are all walking on troubled water. You know, only a fool would believe otherwise. When we look at the world in which we live today, we comprehend and we understand fully that our world is in great turmoil. It is. And many of the issues that we face in our life today, if we didn't have an anchor, we would drift away from our God. Our world, someone said, is spinning out of control, and perhaps maybe it is. But I'm thankful today that my anchor is not on the material things of this life. It is not upon some individual, but my anchor is the Word of God. It is the hope that we have through Christ. I'll be honest with you, I have found myself at times perhaps drifting through the years, and I have to come back from those troubled waters. By that, I mean that there are always things that trouble us in life. We are troubled perhaps by adversity. We're troubled by anxiety in our life. We are troubled by lack of patience when we ought to be patient. We are troubled by financial problems. We are troubled by marriage problems sometimes. And we have to have that anchor that God has given unto us. Someone said, I asked God, why are you taking me through the troubled waters? Have you ever thought about that? If you're a child of God, many people ask that question, why is it that I have to go through the waters of trouble in this life? If I'm a faithful Christian of God, why is it that I have to go through all of these problems? And he says, because your enemies can't swim. Now, I'm telling you, God is the great rescuer. We're going to talk about that in a moment. And we're going to sing a song at the close of the service today about how God rescues the perishing, those who are perishing out on the sea of life. By the way, Jesus was on a troubled sea one time, the Sea of Galilee. And it was on that occasion that the apostles of our Lord were really troubled because Jesus was in the back of the ship asleep. And they had failed to realize that their hope was only in Christ. They rushed back to awaken him, but Jesus knew what was going on. But in order to calm their hearts, he had to calm the waters. And so Jesus walked to the front of that ship, and he simply uttered these words, three of them. Peace, be still. And you know what? The peace came. Someone said in this particular situation, the storm came before the calm. A lot of times we hear people say, well, there's always a calm before the storm. And maybe that's true in some ways. But I'm happy to tell you that when we face the storm, that we can rest assured that there is a calm that is coming. We are sometimes taken into troubles and troubled water, not to be drowned, but to be cleansed. You know, more people turn to God in times of trouble than any other time. I don't know about you, but it is true. Only till we experience the adversity of life do we come to really fully depend upon God. That's why David said, it was good that I was afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. Sometimes it's the only way that we learn them in life. We were talking this morning in our Bible class about the fact that not only should we hear the Word or read the Word of God, but we need to learn it. It is not enough just simply to hear it. We must obey it. Sometimes there is a peace in the storm of financial calamity. I suppose probably everybody in this audience at some point or another has had great difficulty with finances. Maybe you didn't have enough money to take care of all of your needs, and maybe you constantly were finding yourself trying to rob Peter to pay Paul. And maybe you didn't have enough to pay John or Mark or on and on we could go. And so we wonder sometimes, where is our next meal coming from? And what really is going to happen in life? And how can I find that security that I'm searching for? And I can tell you, it is only in God. It is not in this world. It is not in a better job. It is not in the mastermind that says, hey, I can put back money and I can save money. I'm telling you, your security is in Christ Jesus our Lord. David said, I've been young, I've been old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or God's people begging bread. I'm telling you, it may be tough sometimes, but God will get us through the storm. It may be the troubled water of physical illness. All of us perhaps have been there. There have been times maybe when you felt like, hey, it would be far better to go on and be with God. You're like Paul who said, you know, it's far better for me to die and get out of this life and go and be with God than it is to stay here in this world. And so you may be going through some kind of physical abnormality in your life. You may be going through some malady, some problem in your life. And I'm telling you, the only anchor that you really have is the anchor of hope that we have in Christ. It may be emotional problems. You know, we have more emotional problems today in America than we have ever had, and many times even in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have members that have emotional problems, and we don't know exactly how to handle that. Sometimes we think, if I just pop another pill, it'll all go away. Sometimes people think, if I just listen to somebody else, it will help me get rid of the emotional problems. I'm going to tell you, the answer to emotional problems and emotional trauma today is holding on the hope that you have in Jesus our Lord. It may be the troubled water of grief. We have all lost loved ones in death. And I'm telling you, that is a troubled water. I understand that. Jesus understood it. When he went to the little community of Bethany at the death of Lazarus, the Bible says it was a troubling time for Mary and Martha. They were so troubled, and yet they were so overwhelmed when Christ came to that little community. And he went to the graveside, and he comforted them. And the smallest and the shortest passage in all of the Bible is found in that account, by the way, in the book of John 11 and verse 35, where the Bible says that Jesus wept. Our Lord wept. Even though he knew he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead and bring rejoicing at that moment, he allowed Mary and Martha to go through what they had to go through to cleanse them and to help develop a stronger faith in God. He wept. He wept for them, not for Lazarus, but he wept with them. And the Bible teaches us to do the same. Sometimes we are in the troubled water of grief and depression. I was talking to someone this last week who were telling me they'd gone through so many physical problems that they were dealing with depression. And I understand that. Even though I've never really experienced depression, I've been around a lot of people that have. And I know it is a troubling thing. But everybody has their own problem. They do. I'll be honest with you. If you were to ask in this audience and people were to be truthful, I can tell you they have an issue going on in their life in some form or another. Depression is a horrible thing. And more people are depressed today than any other time in the history of our nation. And what is it that causes us to be so depressed? I'll tell you what I think it really is. I think it's the fact that we've gotten away from God. We've gotten away from the one who impresses us instead of depresses us. He is the one who gives us the ability to go on. When we find ourselves drowning in the sea of depression, everybody finds himself or themselves on troubled waters at times, because we will all have them. And I can tell you, anyone who says he never has had troubled times in his life, or he's never been adrift on the troubled waters, is not really being truthful. But the question is, are you prepared for such troubled waters? Simon and Garfield, a number of years ago, sang a song entitled "Bridge Over Troubled Water." How many of y'all remember that song? "Like a bridge over troubled water." You know what? That's what life is really all about. We need not only an anchor, but we need a bridge over troubled waters, don't we? They sang, "I'll take your part, oh, when darkness comes and pain is all around. Like a bridge over troubled waters, I will lay me down. Like a bridge over troubled water, I will lay me down." And when we face those troubled waters, there are things that we can do. We can turn to the Christ who offers us hope because of his death upon the cross. But this morning I ask you the question, will your anchor hold? We want to hold on to something. The book of Hebrews chapter 6 verse 17 and 8 says, "Wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible," listen to this, "for God to lie." My hope is in God because he's not a liar. My hope in God is because he is true. Do you know one of the names that is ascribed to Jesus is truth? He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He is the true and the faithful, Revelation says, "that we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us." Which hope we have, now listen to this, Hebrews 6:19, "which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, and which entereth into that within the veil." I'm thankful for the hope that we have in God. Have you ever thought about it? Where would we be without hope? Where is your hope this morning? David said in the long ago, "Why wait I for? My hope is in thee." In James 1, 2 through 4, James says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith will bring about patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect, mature, entire, wanting nothing." Notice what he says, when you fall into troubled waters, count it all joy because you have an anchor of the soul. God will give you peace to help you through your storm. You know, it's not enough just to be in troubled waters, is it? But to be in troubled waters when the waves are beating against us with a storm. I like Isaiah 26:3. To me, it's one of the most beautiful passages in all of the Bible and gives great and tremendous hope. "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace," not just peace, "but in the peace of perfection whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee." Now, we were singing that song a moment ago, "Will Your Anchor Hold?" I want you to think with me about the verses that we were singing a moment ago. One of those verses asks the question, will your anchor hold when the clouds unfold their wings of strife? Will they? The clouds will someday, when it looks like it's going to be a great day and you get up in the morning and everything is wonderful and fine, and all of a sudden there is the storm cloud that hits your life like you have never, ever experienced before. That's what happened to Job of old, didn't it? Strife and trouble came upon Job of old. For in the book of Job, the second chapter in verse 7, the scripture says, "So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord." They had been carrying on a conversation. God's bragging on Job. And the Bible says that Satan smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his feet or his foot to the crown of his head. But he held on. You know why he held on? He had an anchor. He said, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. He said, I'll be tried like gold, but I'll come forth as gold. And the Bible says that Job did not charge the Lord foolishly for what had happened. But then one verse goes on to say, will your anchor hold when the strong tides lift and the cables strain? Will your anchor hold? Will it? Psalms 46 and verse 1 says again that God is our refuge and strength and a very present help in trouble. I want you to notice that word present. He doesn't talk in terms of past tense, but he talks in terms of present tense. He said, God is our refuge and strength and a very present. He is here now helping us through our adversity, through our anxiety, through the complexities of this life, however great they may be. And when you are feeling burdened, set your mind on the things that are above. Colossians 3 and verse 2 says, and not on the things of the earth. You know what is so, it's so easy for us to think about earthly things instead of thinking about heavenly things. To keep our mind on heaven and to keep our mind on God. You know, it amazes me every day when you go through these problems. I mean, at the time, they just almost seem insurmountable and you can't deal with them. And you know, it's just wonderful when you see God working all of those things out and you get up the next morning and you look back in retrospect on your life and you say, boy, look how God worked that out. I can't imagine how he would ever do that. But thirdly, the song says, will your anchor drift or will it firm remain? How many of you have ever been in a boat, maybe, where you dropped anchor and the anchor just wasn't really strong enough to hold the boat? And you start drifting. The wind is blowing you out in the lake further or maybe in the water, wherever you are. Will your anchor drift or will it firm remain? I want you to go back to the book of Hebrews 6. And verse 19, where the Apostle Paul says that your hope is an anchor that is both steadfast. You know what that means? It remains. It is steadfast and sure. There is no question about the anchor of Almighty God. Hebrews 13 and verse 5 says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. In this life, you may have to go without certain things. There may be, you know, we all want an abundance of things. Everybody wants more. No one ever has enough. Until we get closer to the end of the road. And then we realize that the things were not an anchor. Remember these words, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. God's going to take care of you, folks. Does that mean that it's always going to be great? No, doesn't mean that. But my hope transcends this life. Let me share with you another passage Paul mentions when he writes to the church at Thessalonica. He says, if only in this life we have hope, we're of all men most miserable. Now, my hope doesn't rest here. My hope's in heaven. My hope's on God. It is that hope that helps me get through life. It's not the hope for a bigger house or better car or better job or better relationship in that sense. My hope is on heaven, folks. And we need to become more heavenly minded. 2 Peter 2 and verse 12 says, but these as natural brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed, he says, speak evil things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. You talk about fake news. Here is an example of fake news. These horrible people were teaching things that were contradictory to the law of Christ and to the law of God. And I'm telling you, Peter says, these are people that are saying things they don't even understand. So how can they tell everyone else how it is right? They can't. They speak evil of the things that they understand not. And so people that talk against God in the church today, and they talk against Christ, they don't even understand what they're saying. And he says, and they shall utterly perish in their own corruption. And I'm going to tell you something. Going to hell is no accident. It is a matter of choice. It is choice. But the song says, are you safely moored? Are you safely moored? What about your spiritual ship this morning? Where is it? Are you moored? Are you secured by the Savior's hand? 1 Peter 5, verse 6 through 9 gives this word of encouragement. To humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Notice that, due time. Maybe not right now, but in due time. In due time. And then casting all of your care upon him, for he careth for you. That is a tremendous lesson in and of itself. Are you secured, the song says, by the Savior's hand, by the mighty hand of God? Do you know that you and I, as Christians, are all in the hand of God? We are. We are. And the Bible says that no man can pluck you out, but we can take ourselves out of the hand of God. But then sixthly, did the cables of God's salvation pass from his heart to yours? Jesus threw out the lifeline to you a long time ago. There's a song, David, we sing sometimes. It says, throw out the lifeline. Y'all remember that old hymn? Throw out the lifeline. There's a brother who's lost in sin. Throw out the lifeline. Throw out the lifesaver. For 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient unto thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. That is your weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, Paul says, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Paul knew that he was strong, not because things are going well in life, not because he was in a condo somewhere out in Palestine. But when Paul was going through great difficulty in his life, he gives us a tremendous example of what grace is all about and what faith is all about and what hope is all about. God's great grace is working in your weakest greatness. It is an infirmity. Number seven. Can your anchor defy the blast through the strength divine? When that storm comes on the troubled water of life, what do you do? Do you run fearfully? David said of God in Psalms 59 and verse 9, that you are my strength, and I'll watch for you, O God. For you are my fortress. You are my fortress. Not the world. You know, if there was ever anyone who had the right to claim intelligentsia as an anchor, it was Paul. He studied at the feet of one of the greatest scholars the world has ever known, Gamaliel. Oh, he could have claimed that. He could have talked about the fact that he was a descendant from the tribe of Benjamin. But he said, I counted it all but dung that I may win Christ, for God is my fortress. When I think about defying the blast that's going to come through God's strength, I'm reminded of these words in the book of Revelation, the third chapter, verse 8 and 9. When Jesus says, I know thy works, behold, I have set before thee an open door that no man can shut. For thou hast a little strength, and you have kept my word, and you have not denied my name. Behold, he says, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews, and are not, but they lie. And behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. You know what God's saying? He's saying, in time, your enemies will bow before you. That is what he's saying to the church. You may be troubled, but hold on. David said one time when he was in perhaps the throes of deep, dark depression and on that troubled sea of life, he said, my flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Listen to Revelation 3, verse 10 and 11. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, or that word also means trial, which shall come upon the world to try them that dwell upon the face of the earth. Behold, I come quickly. He said, hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. You know how people take our crown? It's when we lose our hope. It's when we give up our anchor. People can't take it if you hold on to it. God empowers you to hold on when others are trying to get you to give up. But then he sums it all up in that last verse of the song when he says, our anchor is so important to us, and it will be important to us when our eyes behold the city of God. The city, the Bible said, whose foundation and maker is God. Revelation 21, verse 2 through 4, and I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard the great voice out of heaven saying, why, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and I will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for all the former things are passed away. Former things like troubled seas and storms that arise in our life. All the former things are passed away if we stay safely moored in the harbor of God. Then he says, with the storms all past, last of all, forevermore. Can you imagine living in a beautiful city called heaven someday where nothing but tranquility is present? No sorrow, no heartache, no problems, no difficulties. And there shall be no more curse. John writes, Revelation 22, 3 through 6, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their forehead. And there shall be no night there, Well, they don't need the candle, neither the light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light. I can tell you this morning with great assurance that Jesus is the light and the anchor in troubled waters, regardless of how strong they may be. We have to hold on to it. You know, faith is not necessarily something you see. You can see the result of faith. Heard about a young boy one time who was flying his kite in a misty sky. And a man asked him, he says, "Son," he says, "what are you holding on to?" He said, "I'm flying my kite." And the man looked up into the heavens and said, "I see no kite." And he said, "Neither do I, but I know it's there because I can feel the pull of that kite." Sometimes when we feel in our hearts that we just can't see, even through the eye of faith, that God is working behind the scenes to heal our troubled heart and to still the troubled water, we have to feel the pull of God. And we have to know that He is there. He is there. He is our anchor. That's why He wants our heart. That's why He wants our mind. And the Bible in the book of Matthew 22 says we're to love the Lord God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Someday you will go down to the grave. What then? What then? Where will you be when it's all over? Someday you will rise from the dead and you will be hurled into eternity. Will it be with God in heaven, or will it be in a hell that has been prepared for the devil and his angels? I can tell you one thing. You will not drift into heaven if you're anchored to Christ. But if not, you will be like the many who will drift into hell to burn forever and ever. The judgment seat of Christ is coming. And the only real hope we have is turning to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And through a belief in Him and an obedient heart, 1 Peter 1:22 says that seeing that you have purified your souls in obedience to the truth. Let me tell you something. If purification came, as I mentioned our class this morning, came through belief, then I suppose the world would be purified. But Peter didn't say that. He said, seeing that you purify your souls in obedience to the truth. That's where purification comes, doesn't it? And just as Jesus is the anchor of my soul, my hope rests upon heaven. Hebrews 6 and verse 19. Jesus rescued me. He wants to rescue you. You know, I'm so thankful for the faith that was instilled in my heart as a young child. Someone wrote, "When I was 14 years old, I knelt by my dying mother's bed. She smiled at me through the death shadow on her face and said that she was going home and asked me to meet her in heaven. And I gave her that promise. Her body sleeps now in a lonely cemetery in the state of Alabama. As I have sat by her grave and listened to a funeral dirge played by the wind in the pine trees of that great state nearby, I have said, 'Mother, I will see you in heaven.' Some people say that I'm dreaming. If I am, do not wake me. If this world were all, I would still want my Christian faith. My faith hangs a rainbow of hope over the dust of my dead and kindles a smile on the brow of my bereavement." This world is not my home, but there is a God, and there is a heaven, there is a hell, and if there were only one world, I have already won. But my hope serves as the anchor of my soul and buoys me on when others would give up. If you're not a Christian this morning, Christ appeals to you to rescue you. As the song says, rescue the perishing, care for the dying. One of the verses of that song says that the chords that were once there ring no more. For down deep inside, they need to be stirred again. And maybe in our audience this morning, there are those who are children of God, who have gone through great difficulty in your life, who understand the importance of letting God strike those strings once again while we stand and while we sing.